have in mind?
I think there's going to be some back there, so.
Good morning, good to see you, sir.
Can you stop? We gather on this third Sunday of Advent to bask in the joy that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in this Lord's house this wet Advent Sunday morning. This is two Sundays in a row. Maybe next Sunday it will be dry for Christmas Eve morning. Amen? It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day, this third Sunday of Advent, and this season of joy. We pray that our worship this morning will be filled with great joy as we anticipate the arrival of the Christ child. If you're a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Take a moment, fill out a visitor's card, and drop it in the offering plate as you leave later in after the worship service is over. For those that are joining us online this morning, thank you for joining us via Facebook Live. If you're a first-time guest online with us, send me an email this week. Let us connect online this week, and let me welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon. If you are watching us online as well, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our time of worship this day. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, you will notice a few things that are mentioned in our bulletin that I want to point out today. First off, reminder that today is our collection for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship's Global Missions Offering. Our goal as a congregation is to raise $1,500 to raise and support missions around the world. We'll have a chance to watch a video a little bit later in worship this morning. So prayerfully consider supporting the CBF Global Missions Offering. There are envelopes in the foyer. If you did not come this morning prepared to give towards the CBF Global Missions Offering, that's okay. If you want to give next Sunday or the following Sunday, or really any time, this will go to support missionaries around the world. I also want to remind you that this afternoon at 5 p.m., upstairs in the fellowship hall, we will be concluding our Advent adult study that we've been doing over the last couple weeks called The Unlikely Advent. At 5 p.m. tonight, we'll be looking at the story of the shepherds as our final focus in this study. So join me tonight in person at 5 p.m. upstairs, or you can also watch that Bible study online at 5 p.m. Or you can go back at any time onto our Facebook page and watch any of the times of study. Also, the study guides can be found on our website as well. Janice wanted me to mention to you that we are in the process of putting our January calendar together. Our January calendar is just a calendar. We don't put a whole full newsletter together for the month of January. So if you have items that you would like to place in the January calendar for this upcoming year, please send an email to her tomorrow. She wants to make sure we have that in the office by tomorrow so we can work on that calendar, hopefully get it out to you later on this coming week. So please make sure you send those items to her. Something else you'll notice in the in your bulletin this morning, on Tuesday is our normal day where we go and do ministry missions work at Golden Years Senior Center. But this Tuesday is going to be a little bit different. Usually we go play bingo, usually we celebrate birthdays over there, but this Tuesday we're going to bring some Christmas joy to them. We're going to go Christmas caroling, have some presents to take them as well. We may play a little bit of bingo, we're not real sure, depends on how much time we have, but we need some voices. We need some voices to sing some Christmas carols. Now, you know me, I can't sing, but I love to sing, and I'm actually going to go on Tuesday to sing some Christmas carols. So if you don't go, it may be a David solo. And trust me, we want to be able to go back to the Golden Year Senior Center. So don't let it be a David solo on Tuesday. I need your help. So come out at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. We have a wonderful group, Sandy French, Kramer Hughes. They kind of head this group up for our missions team. It's a wonderful opportunity. Sandy's excited about this. Gay's going to go. I'm not going to sing a solo. I promise that. I'm not singing a solo, Sandy. I'm not going to sing a solo. But we're going to sing Christmas carols. It will be a lot of fun. Come out. We're going to meet here at the church upstairs at 1 o'clock on Tuesday and then head over there. We hope we'll have a good group that will go and sing on Tuesday. Also, if you haven't been upstairs during this Advent season, my guess is you have some Christmas cards in your Christmas box upstairs. So please check and make sure you grab some of those Christmas cards. Many of our church members have distributed their Christmas cards that way. Make sure you stop by. If you don't stop by this Sunday, please stop by next Sunday to pick up your Christmas cards. And then last but not least, many of you picked up your wooden church replicas for our 75th anniversary. You picked them up last Sunday. They're beautiful. I have one on my office desk. I have one at home. Many of you took yours home last Sunday. If you didn't pick yours up last Sunday, Please stop by the table with the Christmas tree in the foyer as you leave today. Sally Farnham will be there after the worship service is over to hand those out to you. Also, if you didn't order one in advance, we do have extra. They're $20 a piece. You can drop by and pick one up as well. But I hope you'll take those home and see them and remind you about our ministry here at First Baptist Elon. We gather here today to feel the joy of the season as we lift praise to Him this morning. Let's sing praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day.
Our first hymn this morning is "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Let's stand and worship together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, reading verses 1 through 4 and verses 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. And that's why we gather here. That's the reason that we are here. The sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. That includes us this day in the season of Advent. Let us pray. God of dreams, you have done great things for your people. From times of old, you awaken the faithful to the dawn of your glory. Fill our mouths with laughter. Loose our tongues with shouts of joy. Anoint us with the oil of gladness and make it known among all people that we will live as oaks of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this day. Amen.
Our next hymn we're going to sing this morning is How Great Our Joy. Now, we did a little bit of it last Sunday in the last song. There was a portion of this song. It might, hopefully you'll remember that. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Responsive reading. Advent is marked by a spirit of joy and celebration.
With joyful hearts, we celebrate the coming King.
Advent is a time to open our eyes to our many blessings.
With joyful hearts, we celebrate the coming King.
Advent is a time to appreciate the bonds of human love.
With joyful hearts, we celebrate the coming King.
Advent is a time to remember the promises of God.
With joyful hearts, we celebrate the coming King.
Today we light three candles: the candle of hope, the candle of peace, and the candle of joy. The light of this third candle reminds us that we have no reason to be fearful or anxious because God sent us a Savior. We should be glad in this affirmation of God's love for us and pledge to serve Him faithfully with joy-filled hearts.
Our next hymn this morning is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let's stand and worship together.
Next Sunday will be a day of celebration as we gather for worship on Christmas Eve. The day will begin with our Sunday morning schedule that includes our rooted prayer time at 9:20 a.m., followed by Sunday school at 9:45 and our morning worship service at 11 a.m. I hope each of you will join me with your family and your friends for our Sunday morning schedule as we will light the fourth candle of love on our Advent wreath next Sunday morning. Then we will gather again Sunday evening for one of the worship highlights of our year, every single year, our Christmas Eve communion
and candlelight service. It'll be here in the sanctuary at 5 p.m. Join us as we sing carols of praise, we read the Christmas story, we welcome the arrival of the Christ child, and we gather around the table with family and friends to observe communion. And we will conclude our worship service next Sunday evening by candlelight as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. It will be a special worship service that you will not want to miss. And it's an opportunity to gather as the body of Christ here at First Baptist Elon. But it's a special service. So I encourage you to invite your family and your friends to come and be a part of it next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. for our Christmas Eve communion service. Now, as we prepare for our offertory prayer this morning, may we take a few moments to watch a short video to see how the CBF Global Missions offering makes a difference in this world.
Refugees are fleeing the country of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. They are living in refugee camps over there. For many decades, the Karen people have been persecuted by the government over there and have endured many difficult things.
Between the Korean and the Burmese, forced people in the refugee camp live in Thailand long time. Our Korean people need the peace and justice and the freedom.
When we first met her, she was helping in the Karen Children's Sunday School. She would help to lead them and to teach them scripture. When we would bring something to her, she would say, "We met some friends, some Karen friends here new in Oakland. Can you go and visit them? Can you bring them something?"
Pastor Ri and Lita, they brought the food and the family. We try to help our kid to grow here and to follow the Jesus, believe the Jesus, and love Jesus.
Donation to the CBF Global Missions offering can go around the world to help individuals, but it also can help individuals in our own country, like the Karen people who are in California right now as refugees. Your donations can go to help individuals we can call by name, like Carson and Laura Fushi, CBF missionaries in Japan, but it may go to help someone you can't call by name. But there is needs. There are needs everywhere. So I prayerfully consider contributing towards the CBF Global Missions offering this Advent season. At this time, I'll call on April Riley, our deacon, for our offertory prayer this morning.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you to worship and praise you this morning. May we treasure you as the greatest gift we will ever receive this Christmas, the gift that gives us heaven. In gratitude, we can help share your message around the world through the Cooperative Fellowship Global Missions offering. We pray that our missionaries will be encouraged by these offerings, help them with challenges they face on the mission field, keep them safe, provide for their physical and emotional needs, and give them courage to spread your message of hope to the world. We also pray that you continue to direct us as a church to carry out the Great Commission here at home. We ask for wisdom and discernment, compassion and strength as we communicate with those around us. Bless our efforts, our offerings, and may our gifts be multiplied in ways we never thought possible to bring about change in people's lives everywhere. Now may the joy of Christmas abide in our hearts and live always. Amen.
It is my honor and my privilege to introduce you to Kylie Gamela Mullally. I had to think about it. I had to ask them this morning. Kylie was with us from February of 2017 till she graduated in May of 2020, and she didn't play the last couple months because of when COVID hit, but we were so blessed to have Kylie with us for those 3 years, and it is just my honor and pleasure to tell you a little bit about Kylie. As I said, she's no stranger to us. She started in 2017 and finished up with us when she graduated from Elon. Kylie is a graduate of Elon University. She is now a math teacher at Green Level High School in Cary, North Carolina. And on November the 10th, she and her high school sweetheart, I think first grade sweetheart, all through elementary school, middle school, high school, they got married. And congratulations, Keegan and Kylie, on your marriage. She also is a volleyball coach at Green Level High School. Thank you for being here today, and we love and miss you, Kylie. I hope you will be blessed by her music today. Thank you.
Thank you, Callie. It's good to have you back with us. Keegan, it's good to have you back with us. Carrie's not that far down the road. You know you're welcome back anytime. And I actually am going to get your contact information because Kylie is teaching AP Calculus to juniors and seniors. And Luke's taking calculus coming up next spring. You might be on my phone quite a bit in the spring. But anyway, thank you. It's great to have y'all with us today. If you would, join with me in prayer as we prepare to encounter God's word this day. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for gifts of life, for gifts of love and joy during this season, for gifts of comfort when we do not or cannot feel that joy, for gifts of healing and mercy, for gifts of patience and serenity, for gifts of hope as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Christ's presence changes our world. So we pray that he may indeed be born in us once again, that we may be continually born anew, that the whole world would be reshaped and reborn as your kingdom emerges around us and within us. May your spirit stir within us and cause us to long for the day when earth will in fact be like heaven. It is this radical vision of a new heaven and a new earth for which we lift this prayer of hope, this prayer of peace, and most importantly, this prayer of joy. And all God's people said, amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us this morning on this third Sunday of Advent, commonly called the Sunday of Joy. Some years back, as I was working with the youth and working with children a little bit, one of the children came up to me one Sunday morning during the Advent season, and they said, "Pastor David, did y'all run out of purple candles?" They had come into the sanctuary and saw the three purple candles and the pink one, and they rightfully thought we just ran out of purple candles. And we just grabbed whatever was in the back, and we just stuck a pink one there. And that gave an opportunity to answer why on this third Sunday of Advent, this Sunday of joy, is the candle pink. Well, this candle of joy, which is commonly called the Gaudete candle, is pink because it is a reminder to the church and all believers that even amid our longing and our anticipation, which is this season of Advent, this season of waiting, this season of hope, this season of longing for the Christ child to come, that we still do not lose our joy. Our joy is still there. We're still rejoicing no matter what this long season is all about. That's why that third candle is different. That's why it stands out a little unique from the three other purple candles. However, it's not the candle. It's not the candle in the center. It's not the candle that we are hoping to arrive at, which is what we will light on Christmas Eve, which is the candle, the Christ candle, the white candle. So, if someone ever asked you, what's that pink candle all about? It's not because we didn't run out of purple candles. It's just because it's the candle of joy, and we're called to rejoice during this Advent season. This morning, I continue the sermon series I began 2 weeks ago. Had a little bit of pause for our choir cantata last Sunday, which was a wonderful Sunday of joy as we celebrated the Christ story and called to share that story with everywhere we go. This morning I continue the sermon series, The Faces of Christmas. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the face of awe as we examined the shepherds in the field and the awe they felt when first an angel and then a host of angels announced the birth of the Christ child. We too are called to be in awe of Christ and the good news that he brought, because that good news is for everyone. There's no one left out from it. It draws us closer to him, the message that it brings, and it is ultimately good enough for us to go out and share. This morning,
we look at a different story. We look at the story of Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew, and we look this morning at the face of courage. One Advent season, a small church was putting on a Christmas pageant, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn in Bethlehem. Now, one boy who was a part of this pageant, Johnny, wanted desperately to play the part of Joseph. But when the parts were handed out by the director, his arch rival, Tommy, was given the part that he wanted. And Johnny was assigned the part of the innkeeper instead. Now, he was pretty upset about this part, but he didn't say anything to the director. During all the rehearsals, Johnny thought what he might do the night of the performance to get even with his rival Tommy, who was going to play the part of Joseph. Finally, the night of the performance came. Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage. They knocked on the door of the inn, and Johnny, the innkeeper, opened the door and asked them gruffly, "What do you want?" Joseph answered, "We'd like to have a room for the night." Suddenly, Johnny, the innkeeper, threw the door open wide and said, "Come on in, great, I'll give you the best room in the house." For a few seconds, poor little Tommy didn't know what to do. Playing the part of Joseph, what was he supposed to say? Thinking quickly on his feet, however, he just looked inside the door, past Johnny, and he said to him, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." And just like that, the play was back on. Just like Tommy playing the part in the Christmas pageant, Joseph was an individual of courage. He was a man of courage. What pictures come to mind when you think of that word, courage? I think there are a lot of people who think for a person to be courageous, they need to be fearless or do dangerous things. Or perhaps those with great courage need to be uncaring so that they can do whatever it takes to accomplish their purpose. I hope by the end of the sermon today that you will see that those things are not necessarily true as we look into the face of courage. We look into the face of Joseph. If you will, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through 25 this morning. This is where we see the story of Joseph. The words will be displayed on the screens behind me this morning. Joseph is an interesting person to look at among the people who were at the very first Christmas. If we were to do a play, a Christmas pageant play of the Nativity using strictly the Bible as a script, Joseph is the only one in the story that would not have any lines at all. Joseph doesn't say a word in this Christmas story. Did you know that? There's no quoted word. He says nothing. Even though he has no words, there is much we can learn, however, from his response to God's call on how we can be individuals of courage. Reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 this morning. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As we look at the story here, from the outside, it doesn't really look like Joseph is very courageous. I mean, come on, he just got married. That's all he did. Now, some might say getting married is very courageous, and that's a different sermon for a different day. I'm not preaching that during the middle of Advent. But let's consider the situation for a moment. Imagine the woman that you are engaged to comes to you and tells you that she is pregnant, and you know that it's not your child. She then tells you some story about how God impregnated her and that she is still a virgin. So not only from your point of view is she cheating on you, she then is lying to your face, and you think she's just playing you for a fool. Your friends and your family say you should have her stoned, or at the very minimum, you should divorce her. You see, back then in biblical times, betrothal or betrothal was a binding contract. The Hebrew Aramaic word for betrothal, being engaged like we call it today, is the word kiddushin, K-I-D-D-U-S-H-I-N, which signifies sanctification or separation. Betrothal was the setting aside and separating of a particular woman for a particular man. According to the Mishnah, which is the Jewish law, adultery during this time period was more serious a crime than adultery after they were being married. It was more of a crime during this engagement period than after they were married. So what was happening here was life-changing for Joseph. So Joseph gets these words from Mary, and then he has to sleep on it. So you go to sleep. Then in your dream, while all these things are circulating in your mind, an angel tells you that what Mary is saying is true, and you should go ahead and marry her. Now, this is where Satan starts working. This is where he puts in his overtime. Now, while the text only says that Joseph was obedient to what the angel told him to do, I think we all know that Joseph's head is going through leaps and bounds. If he was in the Olympics, he was a gymnastics basket case at this point. He is going through everything. We've been there, right? We've been there on those sleepless nights where we just can't go to sleep, tossing and turning over something that is going on, right? Shake your head if you've been there. Shake your head if it was last night. Shake your head if it's been this week. Shake your head if it's going to be this coming week. Amen? We've been there. We've been there in those nights. We have faced times when Satan has tried to get us to doubt what we should be doing or what we should be thinking. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." He was looking to devour Joseph on this night. Do you think Satan was just sitting around letting God's plan of redemption go forward without a fight? Have you ever thought about that? God is ushering in his story of redemption. And do you think Satan is sitting on the sideline, just sitting there going, "Go right ahead. Let it happen. Let everything go on. I'm just going to sit here and let it happen." No. No. That's not how the devil works. That's not how he gets in our minds. He actively tries to thwart God's work in the world today. When we're in tune with God, who tries to throw the obstacle in your way? The devil does. Satan does. He runs differently. And you've got to believe that's what's going on with Joseph in this story too. So did Joseph need courage to do what the Lord had told him to do? You bet he did. But where did he get that courage to face the situation? That is what we need to know today. Where did he get it? We need to know so we can live the lives that he wants us to live. Some of us might be saying, well, Joseph was one of the people God used in a mighty way. I am just little old me trying to make a living, trying to raise a family, trying to get my schoolwork done and pass my grades, trying to make it to the end of the week. I am just an ordinary person. I am no Joseph. You're wrong. Joseph was just an ordinary person who had the courage to trust God, and because of that, he was living the life that God had him to live, and that's how he got through this situation. It doesn't promise it's going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Jesus tells us that in your life, you will have trouble. If things are going well and you're following God, things are going to go, they're going to get in trouble. You're going to run into difficult times. But to take heart because he has overcome the world. If we are in a right relationship with him, he will help us overcome. So what did he do for Joseph? Three things I think we can learn from Joseph's story. The first lesson that we can learn from Joseph is this. Being courageous requires righteousness. That's the first lesson that we can learn from Joseph. Being courageous requires righteousness. Now, what does that mean? That sounds like a lot of churchy words. So what does it mean? We believe that Joseph was courageous, and verse 19 tells us that he was a righteous man. So how is righteousness required to be courageous? It takes courage to live for the Lord. And that is impossible if we are not righteous. You can't live for the Lord if you're not righteous. Now, the only problem with that is that no one is inherently righteous. You're not born righteous. We're born into a fallen world. We can't be born righteous. We might think we're righteous, and we like to step up on our soapboxes every once in a while and tell everybody else, look at me, I am righteous, but guess what? Get off the soapbox. You're not. Jesus is. He's the one who makes us righteous. You don't make yourself righteous. Did you hear me? I think we all need to hear that. We don't make ourselves righteous. God does. Period. But God solves the problem for us by sending Jesus to give us his righteousness. In Romans 3, Paul says that no one is declared righteous by observing the law, but that righteousness from God comes from faith in Jesus Christ. This is why we must be in a relationship with him. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, we receive his righteousness. It is then that we can be courageous to live for God. Consider the disciples for a second. They went from running scared to being bold and courageous in standing up for Christ and sharing the truth of the gospel and is his resurrection. How did they do this? They received Jesus as their Savior, and they received his righteousness. They were able to find the courage they needed despite being ordinary men. So what does that mean for you? And what does that mean for me? We need to trust him as our Savior. It starts there. Until we do, we will not find the courage that is inherent in his righteousness. Joseph was a man who trusted in God. He was a righteous man because he put his full trust in God when he could have just as easily turned his back on God. And he was able to walk in the way of the Lord and go through what was a highly stressful time. And because of it, he was able to trust the Lord. We have to do the same. We need to do the same. The second lesson that we can learn from Joseph is this. Being courageous requires selflessness. Remember what the angel tells Joseph in verses 20 through 23. The angel tells Joseph that the child in Mary is from the Holy Spirit, and that the child will save the people from their sins. Now, the angel is basically telling Joseph, hey, Joe, the whole thing is much bigger than you. It's not about you. It is not going to be about you, but it's all about humanity. Courage always requires selflessness. It is selflessness that allows the soldier to run into battle to save his buddy. Selflessness. He or she is not thinking about themselves, but it's about someone else. Without a selfless attitude, we selfishly always think about ourselves. We think or even say to ourselves, well, what's in this for me? If Joseph would have asked that question to himself, if he would have said, well, what's in this for me? What do I get from this? The answer would have been nothing. You get nothing, Joseph. I chose you because I can trust you. It wasn't about Joseph. It was about humanity. Why should I continue in this relationship with this woman who is already pregnant? I will get ridiculed by my friends. I will be the laughingstock of our community. I will be humiliated. But then, Joseph probably said to himself, wait, this is not about me. It's not about me. He knew the story of the Messiah. He knew the story of the Christ that was supposed to come. And he realized that his people, the Jewish people, had been waiting centuries for this occasion. And Joseph knew it wasn't about him. It wasn't about him. It was bigger than him. Selflessness. To act courageously requires you to be selfless. You cannot be thinking about yourself. You will never be courageous if you are not selfless. And that brings us to the third lesson, the final lesson we can learn from Joseph. Being courageous is all about obedience. When Joseph woke up from his dream, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He obeyed. That's simple. He obeyed. Obedience is a step of courage in itself. But it is as we continue to obey and do what the Lord wants us to do, He gives us more and more courage. Joseph's courage built on itself. It began that night and it kept building. Think about what was about to happen. Mary was going to have a child. Then they were going to have to flee to Egypt. Then they were going to have to come back. Then they were going to have to figure out how they were going to raise the Christ child. Do you think that Joseph needed a little bit of courage? I'm a parent. Sometimes I need courage to raise two boys. And no offense, Samuel and Luke, neither one of you are the Christ child. Think about the courage he needed to be the earthly father of Jesus. Think about the courage he needed to take that task on. Where did that courage start? It started that night after he woke up and he started following God's command. And it kept building. And it kept building. And I don't know about you, I think you probably did a pretty good job of raising Jesus. Courage is something we can continue to grow in as long as we obey what God tells us to do now. Joseph did not think through the Lord's commands. Well, if I take her to be my wife, what are my friends and family going to think of me? Will this affect my carpentry business in any way? Will people think there's immorality in my house and then they won't come and give me business? No, instead he just simply obeyed. We see this in other saints as well. They are challenged to be courageous and obey, and that's exactly what they did. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Joshua, David, Hosea, then Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Now, you and me, we're called to do the exact same thing. God has already given you the courage to take the step of obedience that is right in front of you. You may not and probably do not have all the courage you will need to finish whatever you are facing right now, but guess what? He's giving you the courage to take the very first step. And that's all it requires. That's all that Joseph needed, that first step. Courage for that first step. He took it, and he was able to take the next step because God kept building on it. We exercise the courage he has given us to take the step before us, and he'll give us for the next one. We trust that he will give us the courage to continue to follow his call. It is steps of faith and courage like that which will move us forward into the abundant and full life that we hope for and bring glory to God in the process. Realize that having courage does not mean that you will not be scared. I can imagine that Joseph was scared. He didn't have all the answers, but he didn't need all the answers. God had all the answers. He saw the full picture. He knew where Joseph was going. He knew why he chose Mary and Joseph. And for that, we can give him thanks. Courage is not a lack of fear. That's not what courage is, but the strength to act in spite of fear. In closing this morning, I want you to think for a moment about what is right in front of you that you may need courage to act on. Maybe it is a job decision. Maybe it's a relationship decision. Maybe it is a sin issue or an addiction. Maybe it is anxiety or depression as we reside in this festive time of year. Whatever that is in front of you right now, I will tell you that if you have received the Lord as your Savior, he is giving you the courage to take the next step. You just need to take it. Trust him and take it. It may be scary. It will be difficult. But if you will trust in the Lord and open yourself up to him, you too can live courageously and experience a life of living for the Lord that will not be possible without taking courageous steps that are right in front of you. Joseph took courageous steps. He took courageous steps his entire life. He was a man of few words. We don't have any of his words. But he listened to God. He was faithful. He was rooted in God's righteousness. He was selfless. He was obedient. And it changed his life forever. It can and will change your life too. We too can wear the same face that he had, the face of courage, if we choose to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the story of Joseph, a story that is strong in courage because of the strength that you gave him to trust in you. Father, it all begins with the righteousness that you bless us with, and from there, from that righteousness, we know that we can grow in strength and trust in you. When we look beyond ourselves, and when we place obedience in you, you will guide us and lead us every step that we need to take. Whatever we're facing right now, you've seen it, you prepared us for it. May we put our trust in you and take that step as we move forward. We place that prayer and that trust in you today. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to this time of closing, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today you've haven't placed your ultimate trust in him. Make that decision today. Don't put it off. That's where the righteousness begins. Or maybe today you're struggling with something that you've been battling, or this time of year you're struggling with. Place it in the Lord's hand. Pray where you are. I'll pray with you. Or maybe you're just looking for a church home that's just seeking to honor God with our faithfulness and our placing our trust in him. First Baptist can be that place for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of this family. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning.
As you leave the place today, wear the face of courage. It begins by putting your trust in Him. He goes with you. He's already there, and He's preparing you to take that first step. Take that first step. Go in peace.